الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Continue reading in the work by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen رحمه الله تعالى عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة, the creed of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. And we have been reading what the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, with regards to al-imanu billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to the creed and the belief of Ahl sunnah in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have seen a number of great benefits with regards to this fundamental pillar, al-imanu billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a brief chapter left that the author, he mentioned, with regards to this great issue, clarifying some of the principles that have preceded that we have discussed. So he says, rahimahullah, faslun, a chapter, وَكُلُّ مَا ذَكَرْنَاهُ مِنْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى تَفْسِيرًا أَوْ إِجْمَالًا إِثْبَاتًا أَوْ نَفْيًا فَإِنَّنَا فِي ذَلِكَ عَلَى كِتَابِ رَبِّنَا وَسُنَّةِ نَبِيِّنَا مُعْتَمِدُونَ وَعَلَى مَا سَارَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَفُ الْأُمَّةِ وَأَئِمَّةُ الْهُدَى مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ سَائِرُونَ. So he's mentioning now, closing this issue here, clarifying the methodology. And he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and everything that we have mentioned, yani previously, in the previous portions that we have read, everything that we have mentioned from the attributes of Allah the Most High, in detail and likewise in general, that which has been affirmed and that which has been negated, then indeed we are relying with regards to this, we're relying with regards to this upon the book of our Lord and the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are traversing upon the way of the salaf of this ummah and likewise the imams of guidance. And we are on their path and their methodology traversing. We are on their path and their methodology traversing. Clarifying, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that everything that has been discussed so far about the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether that is in general or whether that was mentioned with specific detail, all of these issues, likewise that which has been affirmed and that which has been negated from the attributes of Allah azza wa jal, this is all based upon what has come in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not based upon dreams nor personal opinions, nor about anybody's customs or cultures, but rather that which is affirmed and established in the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the book of Allah, the noble Quran, and the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this is from the affairs of the unseen, and there's no way to know about these issues except by revelation. So therefore, in order to achieve the truth and to understand correctly, one, he must rely specifically on the revelation, on the noble Quran and the authentic sunnah, the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That which has come in general, for example, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى, and all of the most beautiful names that belong to Allah, and likewise وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. All of these affairs they have preceded. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى يعني الوصف الأكمل, and Allah, He has the greatest and most lofty description. Allah, He has the greatest and most lofty description. So this is from the affairs that have preceded the establishment of the beautiful names and the lofty attributes of perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general. And likewise, that which has been mentioned as well specifically from that which has come in the discussion related to Ayatul Kursi. And likewise, with regards to the verses in the beginning of Surah Al-Hadid. And likewise, the verses in the end of Surah Al-Hashr. And likewise, what we have discussed with regards to Surah Al-Ikhlas. So on and so forth. Many details have come with regards to the beautiful names and the lofty attributes of perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the means of establishing these affairs, as has preceded and as he's clarifying now, is from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the understanding of these affairs is based upon the methodology of the salaf, the methodology of the sahaba and the tabi'een and the atba'a tabi'een radiyallahu anhum, and the imams of guidance after them, wa immatul huda after them. and the imams of guidance, not the imams of misguidance, not the imams of the deviant sects, but rather the imams who are following the proper methodology, the methodology of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So now he continues to clarify, رحمه ta'ala. He says, وَنَرَى وَجُوبَ إِجْرَاءِ نُسُوسِ الْكِتَابِ وَسُنَّةِ فِي ذَلِكَ عَلَى ظَاهِرِهَا وَحَمْلِهَا عَلَى حَقِيقَتِهَا اللَّائِقَةِ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And we believe that it's an obligation to understand the text of the book and the sunnah, and to carry all of these texts upon that which is apparent, to carry these texts and the meanings of them and the reality that is befitting the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, all of this has preceded, that we believe in everything that Allah has affirmed for Himself from these beautiful names and attributes in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah. كَمَا يَلِيكُ بِجَلَالِهِ وَعَظَّمَتِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى. That we believe in everything that is affirmed and established in the book and in the sunnah, and we believe in the original meaning of these traits and these attributes. And as for how they are with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have not been informed of that. So therefore we affirm them in the real meaning, in the proper meaning, that which is apparent in the Arabic language, and we affirm that in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in many of these affairs, alhamdulillah, we have discussed them in detail in the previous class. So now we'll just read what he's mentioning here, closing the chapter and the topic of Al-Imanu Billahi Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So now he says, Rahimahullah, وَنَتَبَرَّأُ مِنْ طَرِيقِ الْمُحَرِّفِينَ وَنَتَبَرَّأُ مِنْ طَرِيقِ الْمُحَرِّفِينَ لَهَا الَّذِينَ صَرَفُوهَا إِلَى غَيْرِ مَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَا وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And we free ourselves. And we free ourselves from the ways of those who deviated and distort the text from its apparent meaning, which Allah had intended and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In reference to the methodology of at-tahrif that we have discussed in our previous classes, that we believe in that which Allah has described Himself with in His book, and that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had described Him with, subhanahu wa ta'ala, min ghayri tahrifin wa la ta'thil, without distorting the meaning, without changing the meaning, without distorting the text or the words, and changing the apparent meaning, وَمِنْ غَيْرِ تَعْطِيلٍ, and without denying the attributes likewise. All of this has proceeded. So we free ourselves from this way. We free ourselves from this way. This is the way of the Jews. وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ مِنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. From the ways of the Jews is that they distort the text from its original meaning, and they change the text of the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal to fit their desires. So every person who has a hand in that, yani in distorting the text and changing the meanings from the apparent meaning in the Arabic language without any evidence or proof, then he has a resemblance to the Jews. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَنَتَبَرَّأُ مِنْ طَرِيقِ الْمُحَرِّفِينَ لَهَا. And we free ourselves from the way of those who distort the text. We free ourselves from that way. We do not distort the text. We do not change the meanings. We do not change the meanings, nor do we change the wordings, nor do we change the i'rab. All of this is from the ways of tahrif, to distort the meaning and to say that it means something else that is not apparent without any evidence, or to actually change one of the words, like the word istiwa ila istila. Istawa, they change it to istawla. They change the wording into a whole other word by changing the word entirely, or by changing, or by attempting to change the i'rab, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. They change the i'rab here on this verse. The verse is وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Some of them, they try to say وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, meaning that Musa, he spoke to Allah. But in the verse, Allah is establishing that Allah, he spoke to Musa. And that which clarifies that is وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. This one cannot be distorted. وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. In other verses, it clarifies the intent and the proper meaning, and it cannot be distorted. The point is that we free ourselves from this lowly way, the way of distorting and changing the text. The way of distorting and changing the text from the apparent meaning that is understood in the Arabic language. And he says, changing it from that which Allah had intended and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So
So that which is intended is that which is clear, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that the Noble Quran is guidance, and He mentioned that it is light, and He mentioned that it's a clarification for all things, and mentioned that it's a detailed exposition of all affairs, and that there's nothing been left off, and it's a book of clarity, a book of guidance, and that it's in the clear Arabic language, and the likes. All of these affairs are established in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if the apparent meaning is not intended, and there are hidden meanings that are hidden from the people, then this is not true guidance, and this is not true clarity. So this is contrary. So that which is intended in the revelation is that which is clear and apparent, because it's a book of guidance, and it is a book of light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book in a number of verses clarifying this affair, إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Indeed, we have revealed it, meaning revealed the Qur'an to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an Arabic Qur'an, and in Arabic recitation, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you may reflect, ponder, and understand. إِنَّهُ لَتَنزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ نَزَلَ بِهُ رُوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍّ مُبِينٍ. Allah, He mentioned that indeed it's the revelation from the Lord of the worlds, and in this Qur'an, and the trustworthy ruh descended with it, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam, ala qalbika, descended with it upon your heart, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, litakuna min al-mundhirin, so that you can be from the warners, and from the messengers with guidance warning mankind from the punishment and the anger of Allah azza wa jal, bi lisanin arabiyyin mubin, and the clear Arabic tongue. And the clear Arabic tongue, any meaning in the clear Arabic language. So the point is to clarify the clarity of the Qur'an. It's in the Arabic language, which is clear. And from the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, selecting this language to be the language of the final revelation, there's great wisdom behind that and benefit because of the clarity of the Arabic language and how beautiful it is and how rich it is and how it contains so much great benefit and eloquence and beauty and beauty and mastery. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book, تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, as a clarification for all things. تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ, and as a means of guidance and a means of mercy and glad tidings for those who submit and surrender to Allah. And glad tidings for those who submit and surrender to Allah. So these are some of the verses clarifying that the Book of Allah is guidance and clarification of all things, and has come in the clear Arabic language. So the intent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His revelation and legislation is that which is clear. Is that which is clear, because had the contrary been intended, then it would not be a book of guidance. A person, he will not be able to read it and understand if there are hidden meanings, or the apparent meaning is not intended, or the apparent meaning is not intended. How could it be clear? How could it be in this clear language, in this clear Arabic, and how could it be an exposition of all things and a clarity and guidance for mankind, yet there are meanings that are hidden, no one knows, and the apparent meaning of the revelation is not intended, rather there is something else that is intended, or the meanings are very unclear, especially related to the affairs of the greatest issue, which is the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beautiful names and His attributes. So therefore, the apparent meaning, the point of this discussion now, is to clarify the apparent meaning is the intent of Allah azza wa jal. That which is intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this revelation of the Quran, and likewise that which is intended by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his narrations, specifically with regards to the names and attributes of Allah azza wa jal, and likewise with regards to the affairs of the unseen, that which is intended is the apparent meaning. And any time the apparent meaning is not intended, then the clarification will come. Then the clarification will come. Whenever there's another meaning that is intended that is not apparent, then clarification will come by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning the intended meaning, because it is guidance and light for all mankind, and it is clear. And it is clear. There's no ambiguity. And there's nothing hidden. And there's nothing hidden. And there's nothing that is special for a specific category of people. Rather, it is for all mankind, guidance for all mankind. Those who strive to learn, they will obtain that guidance. Those who strive to learn sincerely, seeking the aid and the help of Allah, they will obtain that guidance. Whether he's wealthy or whether he's poor, whether he's white or whether he's black, whether he's Arab or whether he's non-Arab, whether he's from a great lineage or whether he is from a lowly lineage. And all of mankind, they share in this opportunity to seek knowledge and to learn and to and to become guided, and from the best of mankind, rather from the best of the a'imma al-huda, the best of the imams of guidance. Many of them, they were slaves or freed slaves. Many of them, their lineage may be the worst or the likes like this, yet they had become from the best of mankind. From the best of mankind, like al-Hasan al-Basri and Atta' ibn Abi Rabah and the likes like them, radiallahu anhum, because of their sincerity and faith and their diligence to seek knowledge and learn the narrations and the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the point is that there's no special knowledge that's hidden that only a certain category of people know, like the family or the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is hidden from the rest of mankind, or like certain imams, so on and so forth, like the Rafidah, they claim. So this is not the case. Rather, that which is mentioned in the book and in the sunnah, and understand from the clear text, this is what is intended. And any time that clear or apparent meaning is not intended, the details will come with regards to that. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء قليلا ما تذكرون. That you must follow that which is revealed to you from your Lord, and do not follow anything besides that from the false deities and the false ways. And how little is it that you remember? So here we're ordered to follow that which is revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم. Follow that which is revealed to you from your Lord. So here the Quran is clear in the Arabic tongue, clear, and it's a clarification from all things, and it's a means of guidance and mercy and glad tidings for those who submit and surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal, and we're ordered to follow it. So therefore you follow that which is clear and that which is direct, and this is the proper understanding away, and this is the intent from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not any hidden meanings. It's been narrated from Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, with regards to this. He died in the year 204. He said, "Amantu billahi wa bima ja'ani Allahi ala muradillah." He said, "I believe in Allah and that which has come from Allah upon the intent of Allah. Wa amantu bi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa bima ja'a rasulillahi ala muradi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And I believe in the Messenger of Allah, and that which has come from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the intent of the Messenger of Allah. And this is the proper understanding. We believe in the book of Allah, and that which has come from Allah, and that which is intended by Allah, and that revelation subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we believe in the Messenger of Allah, and that which has come from the Messenger of Allah, from his sunnah, his laws and legal ways sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the intent of the Messenger of Allah, and that which he intended whenever he spoke these narrations. This is what we believe in. And that which is understood in the clear Arabic language, apparently this is the intent, because there's nothing hidden. Alhamdulillah. So this is what he's referring to here. وَمِنْ طَرِيكِ الْمُعَطِّلِينَ لَهَا الَّذِينَ أَطَّلُوهَا عَنْ مَدْلُولِهَا الَّذِي أَرَضَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And likewise we free ourselves from the ways of those who deny the attributes and deny the meaning that Allah had intended and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we free ourselves from the way of those who make tahrif. We have discussed this in detail in the previous classes, alhamdulillah. And we free ourselves likewise from the way of the people who make ta'til. And these things, they come hand in hand. We discussed that before. مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِمَا وَصَفَ اللَّهُ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَبِمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَحْرِيفٍ وَلَا تَعْطِيلٍ. That we believe in Allah and that which Allah has described Himself within His book, and that which His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم has described Him with, بِغَيْرِ تَحْرِيفٍ وَلَا تَعْطِيلٍ, without distorting the meanings and without denying them. These things, they come hand in hand. And rather, one of them is an introduction for the other and a means that leads to the other. So the way of denying the attributes, the way of the deviant and the misguided, the mubtadi'a, the innovators with regards to this affair, those who have violated the creed of Ahl Sunnah, waliyadhu billah, their methodology is not to directly deny them. No true believer would directly deny them in this manner, except for someone who is extremely deviant, waliyadhu billah, and bold. Rather, they distort the meaning, and in distorting the meaning, they deny the attribute. So if they distort the meaning of the hands, for example, they say that the hands, wa bal yadahu mabsutatan, they say that this means his power, this power? وَمَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ. What prohibited you, O Iblis, from prostrating before that which I created with my two hands? They say the hands means power, or they say it means blessing. So what they're really saying is that Allah, He doesn't have hands. This is the outcome of that statement. To say that hands means blessing, or that hands means power, meaning Allah doesn't have hands. You see the outcome? You see the outcome? So their tahrif leads to ta'atil. Their tahrif, their distortion of the meaning of these texts, leads to denying them. Leads to denying them. So now they're saying Allah doesn't have hands, yet Allah, He says He has hands. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is to free ourselves from that way and that way. Waliyadhi billah, these are both filthy and lowly ways. Rather, we say that Allah, He has hands because Allah, He said He had hands. And because the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said He has hands. But we do not resemble His hands to anything in the creation. And we have discussed this, alhamdulillah, in detail. In detail, we do not resemble His hands to anything in the creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, we believe that He has two hands. Taliqani bi jalalihi wa azamatihi. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He has two great hands that are befitting of His majesty and His glory. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for how they are, we have not been informed. Wa kalamu fi sifati far'un an al kalami fi fidhat. Fidhat. These principles, alhamdulillah, we discussed. So also, he says, rahimahullah, وَمِن طَلِيكَ الْغَالِينَ فِيهَا الَّذِينَ حَمَلُوهَا عَلَى التَّمْثِيلِ أَوْ تَكَلَّفُوا لِمَدْلُولِهَا التَّكْيِيفِ أَوْ تَكَلَّفُوا لِمَدْلُولِهَا التَّكْيِيفِ. And likewise, we free ourselves from the ways of those who have gone beyond the limits, who have transgressed the boundaries, those who have gone to extremes. We free ourselves from the ways of those who have gone to extremes, and they have carried these attributes upon the understanding of likening them to the creation. They have understood these texts and carry them upon the meaning of resembling them to the creation, or trying to establish how the attributes are, and delving into the how. So we free ourselves from this way likewise. So just as we free ourselves from tahrif and the people of tahrif, and we free ourselves from ta'thil and the people of ta'thil, likewise we free ourselves from at-tamthil and the people of tamthil, and at-takyif and the people of at-takyif. And going back to the topic that we discussed a number of times, that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which He has described Himself within His book, and that which His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described Him with, min ghayri tahrifin wala ta'thil wa min ghayri takyifin wala tamthil. These are al-mahadhir al-arba'a that we must avoid and be cautious from when we discuss the belief in the beautiful names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. We avoid tahrif and ta'thil and takyif and tamthil. We avoid these affairs. We avoid distorting the meaning, and we avoid denying the attribute, and we avoid delving into how the reality of that attribute is, whether we cut off all hope from that. We've seen that in a previous class, and we do not resemble the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal to anything in the creation. Rather, we believe أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Whether we believe that there's nothing like unto Him whatsoever, and He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he says, rahimahullah, وَنَعْلَمُ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينِ أَنَّ مَا جَاءَ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَوْ سُنَّةِ نَبِيِّهِ أَوْ سُنَّةِ نَبِيِّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَهُوَ حَقٌّ لَا يُنَاقِضُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا لقوله تعالى أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. He says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and we believe with certain knowledge, وَنَعْلَمُ, and we know with certain knowledge, that which has come in the book of Allah, and we know with certain knowledge that which has come in the book of Allah, the Most High, and in the Sunnah of His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is the truth, and it does not contradict each other. It does not contradict each other. That which has come in the book of Allah, we have certain knowledge. We know with certain knowledge that which has come in the book of Allah, the Most High, and in the Sunnah of His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is the truth. وَلَا يُنَاقِضُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا, and it does not contradict each other. The truth does not contradict itself. If it's the truth, there's no contradiction. From the means of clarifying falsehood, that you will find that there are contradictions, that it doesn't come together, that there's no harmony and understanding, but rather that there's contradictions. One is not able to understand in the same light, rather there's opposite meanings that cannot go together. This is a sign of falsehood. So likewise, the sign of truth is that there are no contradictions. So in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there are absolutely no contradictions. There are absolutely no contradictions. This is an incumbent to realize and understand and to believe with certainty and to have no doubt whatsoever with regards to this, because the truth does not contradict itself. The truth is one. The truth is one. So he says, and this is based upon the statement of Allah the Most High, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not ponder and reflect over the Qur'an? Do they not ponder and reflect and think deeply over the Qur'an? وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Had it been from other than Allah, then they would find much differing found therein. They would find much contradiction therein. Had the Qur'an been from other than Allah Azza wa Jal, had it been from mankind, then you would find much contradiction and differing. You would find much contradiction and differing. He says, وَلِأَنَّ التَّنَاقُضَ فِي الْأَخْبَارِ يَسْتَلْزِمُ تَكْذِيبَ بَعْضِهَا بَعْضًا وَهَذَا مُحَارٌ فِي خَبَرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَرَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. And this is because that contradiction in information, in contradiction information, whenever there's information that contradicts itself, whenever information comes that contradicts itself, this is clarifying that that this is not true. The information is not true. That one portion will deny the other. If one says this and if one affirms this and the other one denies it, the information is affirmed and then it's the same thing is denied. Or information has come denying something and that same thing is affirmed. Then this is contradiction. And this is a clarification that this portion is here. Is clarifying that this one is a lie. Or that this one is wrong and this one is a mistake. And the likes like this. So one of them is going to be right or both of them will be wrong. So there's no contradictions in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. There's never something in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, nor in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where something is affirmed and then that exact same thing is negated. Whether something is affirmed and that exact same thing is negated. Or something is negated and then that exact same thing is affirmed. Is affirmed. This does not come in the book of Allah. The only way it will come is in one case. Is in one case, and that is in the case of a ruling. Of a ruling, a legislative ruling. Not with regards to information, not with regards to creed, but with regards to a legislative ruling that had been abrogated. That had been abrogated. And abrogation only happens in ahkam. And the rulings, and the legislation, and the law, not in the creed. We have seen this likewise. The creed is one. From the time of Adam until the day of resurrection, all of the prophets and messengers, they have one creed. To believe in Allah, to believe in the angels, to believe in the books, to believe in the messengers, and to believe in the last day, and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His power and His authority. And His power and His authority. This is the creed of all of the prophets and messengers. This is what we're studying here, alhamdulillah. The creed of the prophets and messengers. Aqidatu Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'a, Aqidatu Ahl Anbiya wa Rusul. Al-Anbiya wa Rusul. The creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'a is the creed of the prophets and messengers, alayhim wa salatu wa salam. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, and this is very relevant to that which we're discussing, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Did they not ponder and reflect over the Qur'an? Did they not ponder and reflect over the Qur'an? From the greatest things to ponder and reflect over are the beautiful names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also pondering over His creation, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and also pondering over His legislation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the apparent meaning is not intended, then how could a person ponder? Or if we do not know the meaning of istiwa, and if we don't know the meaning of nuzul, and if we don't know the meaning of sama', we don't know the meaning of basr, we don't know the meaning of rahmah, whenever it's ascribed to Allah, we don't know the meaning of these attributes, then how could we ponder? How could we reflect? How could we ponder? How could we reflect over something we do not know the meaning of? So Allah, He has ordered us to ponder. He's ordering us to ponder. Do they not ponder over the Quran? Meaning that you must ponder over the Quran, you must reflect. You must reflect. لِكَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Many verses, they end in this manner. So for people who ponder, for people who reflect. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do not reflect, do not ponder, do not think, do not use your mind, do not use your intellect. Anywhere ordered to use our intellect and to think. Because the revelation and the truth, and the truth in the Qur'an and Sunnah does not contradict the sound mind. Rather, the clear revelation and the sound mind, they're in harmony exactly. They're in harmony exactly because Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the one who has created the mind and He is the one who has revealed the revelation. So it's the truth from the same source. from the same source. So there's never any contradiction in the clear and direct text, and in the sound and upright mind. And in the sound and upright mind. So you cannot ponder or reflect over something you don't understand or you don't know the meaning of, or the meaning is hidden from you. In order to truly ponder and reflect, first you must understand the Arabic language clearly. And then you must read it in detail. And likewise, study the principles and fundamentals of faith, as we have discussed before. And then you will benefit in a great manner by reflecting and pondering over the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the meanings are clear and they're known. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So he says, rahimahullah, وَمَنْ اِدَّعَ أَنَّ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَوْ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ أَوْ بَيْنَهُمَا تَنَاقُضًا فَذَلِكَ لِسُوءِ قَصْدِهِ وَزَيْغِ قَلْبِهِ فَلْيَتُوبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلِيَنْزِعْ عَنْ غَيِّهِ. And whoever claims that in the Book of Allah the Most High, or in the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or between the two of them, there are some contradictions or conflict, there are some contradictions or conflict, then he's only claiming this because of his bad intention. He has bad intentions. He has bad intentions, and he's following desires and whims because of his bad intentions and the deviation of his heart. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. We discussed this in previous classes. Likewise, especially in the book with regards to the virtues of the Qur'an, those who follow the mutashabih and the methodology of Ahl Sunnah and understanding the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that there are verses that are clear and there are verses that are unclear. We've seen the details with regards to that, and we've seen the way of Ahl Sunnah and those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, and we've seen the way of those who have zayg in their hearts, those who have deviation in their hearts. They leave off the clear verses and they go to the verses that carry more than one meaning, and they try to misinterpret them contrary and contradiction to those verses that are clear. So this is the way of the people of bad intentions and deviation in their heart. So if somebody claims that there's a contradiction in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal, or in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or between the two of them, then this is because of his foul intention and deviation in his heart. This is because of his foul intention and deviation in his heart. So the people of the Sunnah, the way to solve this issue, if it ever appears that there is contradiction, this is because they are not returning those verses that carry more than one meaning back to the clear verses. So the people of the Sunnah, the scholars of Hadith, the people of the proper creed, they understand the text of the Quran and the Sunnah all in one light. They treat the all of the text as one text. So they look in a particular issue to all of the text in that issue, not just to one text. They don't just look into the Quran one verse. Rather, they look into the Quran all of the verses with regards to this particular issue, and likewise the narrations with regards to this particular issue. And from here, the intent becomes clear. As for the people of deviation, or those who claim that there are contradictions, then they look at it from one aspect, and they leave off other texts that clarify the proper meaning. This is from the ways of deviation. So from the ways of guidance, and from the ways of those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, is they look at all of the texts as one text, the Quran and the Sunnah, and they find the fundamentals and the clear texts that establish the principles and rulings and the proper creed and belief and understanding, and then all of the other verses that carry more than one meaning, they refer back to these fundamental principles. So now all of the texts become clear. Because there are texts that carry one meaning and there are texts that carry more than one meaning. The texts that carry one meaning, these are the fundamentals and the principle, the foundation of the book. They are the fundamental and the foundation of the book. As for the verses that carry more than one meaning, from the meanings that they carry is the meaning of the fundamental text and other meanings likewise. So how do we know which one is intended? By referring them back to the fundamental text in this manner. هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله ولا يعلم تأويله إلا الله وراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يتذكر إلا
أولو الألباب. أولو الألباب.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, O Aisha رضي الله عنها, to his wife Aisha رضي الله عنها, if you see those who are following the mutashabih, the which is unclear in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, then you must be cautious from fahdaruhum. These are the ones that Allah has mentioned. فهم الذين سماهم الله في كتابه فحذروهم. These are the ones that Allah mentioned in His book, meaning that they have deviation in their heart. So this is what He's referring to here. So we follow the clear text, those that are the fundamental foundation of the book, and refer all of the other texts back to these texts if there's ever any ambiguity. And then in this manner, everything becomes clear. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And if a person, if he's ever in a situation where he is not clear, then he will ask the people of knowledge. He will ask the people who are reliable in their creed, in their methodology, in their manners, and their conduct for clarification. For clarification. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَمَنْ تَوَحَّمَ التَّنَاقُضَ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَوْ فِي سُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَوْ بَيْنَهُمَا فَذَلِكَ إِمَّا لِقِلَّةِ عِلْمِهِ أَوْ قُصُورِ فَهْمِهِ أَوْ تَقْصِيرِهِ فِي التَّدَبُّرِ فليبحث عن العلم وليجتهد في التدبر حتى يتبين له الحق. So whoever is deluded, or whoever perceives, he thinks that he sees contradiction in the book of Allah. ومن توهم, and whoever thinks that he sees, التوهم is to be deluded and to have delusion. So this is the case. It may appear to some people that there's a contradiction in the book of Allah, or in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or between the two of them. It may appear to certain people, in certain circumstances, that there is a contradiction. But this is not a reality, rather it is wahim. It's a delusion. It's a delusion. It's a delusion. So if this ever happens to a person, that he is deluded, and he thinks, or it's apparent to him, that there's contradiction in the book of Allah, the Most High, or in the sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or between the two of them, then this is because of little knowledge. This is because this individual here has little knowledge. As for the people of knowledge, then they don't have that delusion. Things are very clear for them, as has preceded the methodology of reaching that way, and thus having knowledge of all of the texts in these issues. So if this delusion appears to a person, that there is some type of contradiction, then this is because of a number of reasons. From them, إِمَّا لِقِلَّةِ عِلْمِهِ, either because of little knowledge, أَوْ قُصُورِ فَحْمِهِ, or because of deficiency in his understanding, أَوْ تَقْصِيرِهِ فِي التَّدَبُّرِ, or because of his shortcoming in striving to ponder and reflect. These are three reasons why a person may think that there's some type of contradiction in the Qur'an and in the Sunnah, or between the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And that is either because of little knowledge, he's ignorant of the fundamentals and the proper path in understanding these texts, or because his mind is deficient, he's not able to comprehend. He's not able to comprehend. And this is also stemming from having little knowledge, or because he himself has shortcomings in striving to understand and to comprehend. And he did not make the proper effort to study and to learn and to think deeply about these affairs. And he just followed his whims and desires and the first thing that was suggested to his mind. And the first thing that was suggested to his mind and cast into his heart from these doubts. And he followed that. He followed that without reflecting, without pondering, without thinking, without asking the people of knowledge and discussing these issues, making effort to arrive to the truth. So if this happened, the person, he needs to search for knowledge. فَلْيَبْحَثَ عَنِ الْعِلْمِ, then let him search for the knowledge, yani in the proper manner, from the proper sources. In the proper manner, from the proper sources. And strive to ponder and reflect until the truth becomes clear to him. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَتَبَيَّنْ لَهُ فَلْيَكِلِ الْأَمْرَ إِلَىٰ عَلِمِهِ وَلْيَكُفَّ عَنْ تَوَهُمِهِ وَلْيَقُلْ كَمَا يَقُولُ الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا وَلْيَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُّنَّةَ لَا تَنَاقُضَ فِيهِمَا وَلَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَلَا اخْتِلَافٍ وَلَا اخْتِلَافٍ. And then he says, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and after striving in this manner, after striving to seek knowledge and to seek knowledge from the proper sources in the proper way, and making effort to ponder and to reflect until the truth becomes clear, if even after this effort the truth is still not clear for him, then let him entrust the affair to the one who knows, and let him desist from his delusions.
yani from pondering over these affairs. And he may be a person, especially a student of knowledge in the beginning, he will study and he will learn some of these principles and he will learn some of these affairs, and many of the issues will become clear for him. But then there will be specific issues that are problematic for him still. There will be specific issues, specific texts that he has not studied in detail and that he has not understood correctly that remain problematic for him. So if he's not able to find the proper answer to solve those problems, he will not delve into them and continue to reflect upon them. Rather, at this time, he'll return back to those fundamentals that he's already certain with regards to. And as for this issue, he'll leave it on the side. And he will suffice by saying, "Amantu billahi wa rasuli." I believe in Allah and His messengers. Alayhi wasallam. So he will not let that delusion grow in his heart. He will not let that delusion grow in his heart. This is a person who's been studying. He's already seen the truth. He already has certainty in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. He already has certainty. He's seen the certain proofs and evidences that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has no doubt that the Jannah is true, and that the Nar is true, and that the prophets and messengers are truth, and that the Quran is truth, and that Muhammad is the truth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the day of resurrection is truth, and the accountability is truth. He has no doubt about these affairs. So if he's studying and he's researching and he's learning and he comes to some issues that are problematic for him with regards to creed, he will not continue delving into them if he's not able to solve that problem. If he has not come to those people of knowledge who are able to clarify that for him. At that moment, if it's problematic, he will just turn away from it. And he will fall back on these principles that he has certainty with regards to. And he will say, "Amantu billahi wa rasuli." And then he will leave it. And he will continue to seek knowledge. And he will be sincere in that path. And inshallah, he will come to someone who will clarify that issue for him and solve that problem. And solve that problem. But had he delved into that and continued to let that thought roll in his heart and come, and he entertained that idea, it will grow and it will grow and it will grow until someday maybe he will disbelieve. Until someday maybe he will disbelieve. So this is from the test, and we have seen that. And from the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jalla is that there are ayat muhkamat. And then likewise there are ayat mutashabihat. There are issues that are direct and very clear. No one can deny. And then there are also issues that are not so direct and they are not clear. The foundation and fundamentals are those issues that are clear. And those issues that are unclear, they're referred back to the clear issues. But the mind is tried and tested after seeing the clear truth. There are also issues that you cannot comprehend. You must submit to that based upon the clear truth that has reached you. Based upon the clear truth that has reached you. So there's a trial and a test here. After seeing and understanding and believing the clear truth, there are going to be some things that maybe your mind cannot reach and comprehend. Are you going to be bold and reject the truth now because you cannot comprehend that? Or are you going to surrender and submit to Allah based upon what has reached you from the clear evidence? Based upon what has reached you from the clear evidence. So this is not blind faith. Rather, the faith is based upon foundations and fundamentals. But there are some issues that you cannot comprehend. From that, the how and the reality of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You cannot even comprehend your own soul between your sides. You cannot even comprehend your own soul between your sides. You don't know how that is. You don't know how that is. But you do not deny it. But you do not deny it. So this is the case. The mind and the intellect is from the greatest blessings and favors of Allah Azza wa Jal. But if it's not guided by the light of the revelation, it will go astray. But if it's not guided by the light of the revelation, it will go astray. The mind is not sufficient alone. And many of the most intellectual people of mankind, they're the most deviant of mankind. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned about them, "Utu zaka'an wa lam yu'ta zaka'an," that they were given cleverness, but they were not given purity. And they were given sciences, knowledge, but they were not given understanding. They are not given understanding. So maybe somebody, he's the smartest and most clever of mankind, but he'll prostrate for an idol. Or he'll believe in Mother Nature, and the likes like that. He doesn't believe in a creator. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ The most deviant of mankind. But he's so smart. He's so smart, he's so bright, he's so clever, his intellect is strong, but it's not guided by the light of the revelation, so therefore he is from the lowliest of mankind. from the lowest of mankind. Allah, He ordered His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say, "Qul," and Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them, and He say with your tongue and with belief, "In dhalaltu fa innama adhillu ala nafsi." If I go astray, then I only go astray against my own soul. "Wa ihtadaytu fa bima yuhi ilayya Rabbi." And if I'm guided, then it's from that which my Lord reveals to me. Not from my cleverness, not from my brightness, not from my smartness, not from my own efforts. "Wa ihtadaytu fa bima yuhi ilayya Rabbi." And if I'm guided, then it's because of what my Lord has revealed to me. So therefore, guidance comes from the revelation and following the revelation. اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم. Follow that which is revealed to you from your Lord. Allah, He says, إنه سميع قريب. Indeed, Allah, He is the all-hearing and near. He is all-hearing and near. So the point is that we have a mind and an intellect, and we are ordered to ponder and reflect and to use it. And if it is blessed with the guidance and the light of the revelation, it will be able to see, and it will be able to comprehend and understand and to benefit in a great manner. But even then, barakallahu fikum, and the point is that al-aqlu lahu hudud, the mind, it has a limit. Just like the eyes, it has a limit. So the eyes, they have the basar, right? The ability to see. And the mind and the heart has basira, insight, the ability to comprehend and to reflect. Just as the basar has a limit, the basira has a limit. You understand this? Just as your eyes have a limit, like we can see to the door right there, but we can't see in the parking lot. And you surely can't see in Somalia or in Yemen or in Indonesia. We can't even see what's on the other side of the wall. Maybe somebody's over there. We don't even know right now. Maybe somebody's in that room over there. We don't even know they're over there. Or in the parking lot. Or behind us. Like, we don't know. We can see. But our eyesight has a limit. It can only see so far. Even if we go outside and it's open, you can only see so far. You can see up, but you can't even see past the first heaven. There's many things in the sky. You can't see them. You can't see them. Or down the road, you can't see them. And there's things down the road you can't see. We can't even see the road right now because there's doors in the way in the wall. So the point is, barakallahu fikum, that the eyesight is limited. We all see this. The mind has limits too. The intellect has limits too. The insight has limits too. The more a person studies and learns, and the more a person strives to purify his soul and his heart and work in his faith and application, the more his insight, the further his insight will be able to reach. But even then it's limited. Even then it's limited. So there are things that we comprehend and we understand, and there are things that we cannot comprehend and understand. And the only way to comprehend and understand them is from the revelation. And from these affairs specifically is the issues of the unseen. And the greatest of that is al-imanu billahi wa asma'ihi wa sifatihi. Al-imanu billahi wa asma'ihi wa sifatihi. Believing in the affairs of the unseen. And the greatest of that is believing in Allah and His names and attributes. Is believing in Allah and His names and attributes. So if a person tries and he strives to understand and he's not able to comprehend, the knowledge is not there, then he'll leave this delusion. He'll not ponder, he will not keep that in his heart. Rather, he'll let it go. He'll let it go, he will not entertain that idea, and he will rely upon the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that which He has certainty about, the fundamental principles. He'll fall back on that. Amantu billahi wa rasuli. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. As for this problematic issue, he'll leave that. He'll leave that and he'll keep seeking knowledge and the likes like this. And it will not disturb him, it will not bother him, alhamdulillah. But if he keeps entertaining that, and the whispers of the devil come, and the devil come, especially if he starts seeking knowledge from the wrong sources, And people are using the likes of these doubts here to plant the seeds of misconception and misunderstanding, then it's going to grow. With the other billah, and it will turn into hypocrisy. Doubts and misconceptions and creeds specifically turn into hypocrisy if they grow. With the other billah. With the other billah, he'll start to doubt about his deen, about his creed, about his Lord, about his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about his own self. With the other billah. So you don't entertain these ideas. This is great advice, barakallahu fikum. Barakallahu fikum. You strive to understand. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَتَبَيَّنْ لَهُ فَلْيَكِلِ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِهِ وَلْيَكُفْ عَنْ تَوَهُمِهِ. If he does not, if he after trying to understand, he does not understand, he does not comprehend, he will entrust it to Allah. آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. I believe in Allah and His messengers, alayhimu salatu wassalam. and you leave that delusion and pondering over that affair and reflecting on this problematic issue. This problematic issue, and this is by returning back to the foundations that you have certainty with regards to. That you have certainty with regards to. وَلْيَكُولْ كَمَا يَكُولْ رَاسِكُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. And he should say that which those firmly grounded in knowledge, they say, آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. We believe in it, all of it is from our Lord. And that which I understand and have certainty with regards to, and that which I don't understand is considered problematic in my mind. All of it is from my Lord. And I believe in all of it. And I believe in all of it. And he should know with certainty that in the book and the sunnah, there is no contradiction whatsoever and no differing. There's no contradiction whatsoever and no differing. Is it time for shuruq? Almost. We have some time. I have with me, alhamdulillah. I wanted to read, and we'll just read it briefly and close without much commentary. Alhamdulillah. This is Al-Jami' Al-Kabir. Al-Jami' Al-Kabir. Li Abi Isa, Muhammad ibn Isa, Al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah ta'ala. This is the collection of narrations by Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is a book from Al-Kutub Al-Sitta. Al-Kutub Al-Sitta, from the six books. So Ummahat Al-Sitta, the six main books of hadith. Who knows what they are? Al-Bukhari, Al-Muslim, Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nasa'i, Ibn Majah. In this order, like this. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Abu Dawud. We have Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Sunan Abi Dawud, Jami' al-Tirmidhi, Sunan al-Nasa'i, and Sunan Ibn Majah. Sunan Ibn Majah. In this order right here. In this order right here. The first two are called Sahihan. And the other four are called As-Sunan al-Arba'ah. As-Sunan al-Arba'ah. The first two are called the two authentic collections. The other four by themselves are called the four books of the Sunan. And all of them together are called Al-Kutub al-Sitta, the six books of Hadith. The six books of Hadith. They're not the six only books of Hadith, but they're the six main books of Hadith. The six main, but there are many other books of Hadith that are also relied upon and have great benefit. At the head of them, Sahih ibn Khuzaymah, and Sahih ibn Hibban, and Mustadrak al-Hakim, and Ma'ani al-Athar al-Tahawi, and many other books after that likewise, al-Tabarani, al-Ma'ajim al-Thalatha, the books of al-Tabarani, and then likewise al-Darakutni, and many books of hadith, alhamdulillah. But the foundation and the fundamental books of hadith are six. From them here, Jami' al-Tirmidhi. Jami' al-Tirmidhi. So the Kutub al-Sitta, yani the narrations were collected after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, little by little, all the way until these books were written, the Kutub al-Sitta. After these six books were written, these books gathered the Sunnah, and then after that, the people are relying upon what they had done and collecting similar to what they had done. What they had done, likewise, Al-Imam Ahmad and also Imam Malik, they have books of hadith as well, well known. So Al-Bukhari, he died in 256. In Muslim, he died in 261. Abu Dawud, he died in 275. At-Tirmidhi, he died in 279. And in Nasa'i, he died in 303. And Ibn Majah, he died in 273. And they're from they come after those first best generations. They're from the fourth generation after the Atba' al-Tabi'in. But they collected all of those narrations. So after their collection, the Ummah relied upon these books. Before, the Ummah is relying on these narrations that are collected here and there. There are other books before these books, but they gather these narrations and arrange them in this beautiful manner. Until after that, these books are relied upon. So before, they're collecting narrations and the likes like this here and there in different manuscripts, so on and so forth, and different works and different books. But after these books are authored, then these books are transmitted by chain. Now they began transmitting these books. These books were considered relied upon. You understand? And instead of many people, instead of going and searching for different narrations by chain individually, they would narrate the book with its chain, because the book is itself collecting, it's already collected the chains of narrations, and then they narrated the book with its chain back to the author, like this until this day. So the point is to clarify the fact that we rely upon the likes of these works. Each one of these books, from the books of the Kutub al-Sitta and the books after them likewise, they have specific qualities. You will find in one that what you do not find in the other. You will find in one that what you do not find in the other. And you cannot suffice with one over the other. Rather, it's incumbent to have all of them. To have all of them. From the traits of this book here, Sunan al-Jami' al-Tirmidhi, is that he collects, that you will find in it narrations that are sahih, narrations that are hasan, and narrations that are weak, and narrations even that are very weak. And there's wisdom behind that. And there's wisdom behind that, and no doubt he narrates with chain. And also from the benefits of this particular work is that Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, his greatest teacher is Al-Imam al-Bukhari. And he narrates many times the position of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this particular work. And also from the benefits of Jami' al-Tirmidhi is that he has commentary at the end briefly, and he'll mention the madhahib of the ulama. He'll mention the madhahib of the ulama and the salaf. He'll mention that the salaf, the application of these narrations. And he'll mention the different madhahib of the scholars before him. And he'll mention also the creed and the barif. And this is what we have here. This is what we have here. So Abu Isa, Muhammad ibn Isa ibn Sawra al-Tirmidhi. Abu Isa, Muhammad ibn Isa ibn Sawra al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, he died in the year 279. He died in the year 279 from his greatest teachers, Al-Imam al-Bukhari. He's from the scholars of Hadith. He's from the scholars of Hadith. So whenever reading the likes of this book here, and we say we believe in these attributes, we believe in the Quran and the Sunnah, and we follow the book and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Salaf of the Ummah. This is how today's class began, in this manner, that everything that we affirmed in general and in everything that we affirmed or negated specifically or in general, we're relying and establishing this upon the book and the Sunnah and traversing upon the way of the Salaf of the Ummah and the Imams of Guidance. This is how we began today. So we want to read this portion here to understand, because the Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 1421. He died recently, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 2000 and like, what? Huh? 2001. And not long ago. But he's telling us these affairs and mentioning these issues. But we want to see that as he's saying, rahimahullah, he's truthful in this affair, that we're following the way of the Salaf. The Salaf, they are the first three generations from the companions, the Tabi'een and Tabi' Tabi'een, and those Imams of Guidance upon their way. From the Imams of Guidance upon their way, Ashab Kutub al-Sitta. From the Imams of Guidance upon the way of the Sahab and the Tabi'een and the Tabi' Tabi'een, rather those who collected their narrations and transmitted them to the Ummah, they are the authors of the Kutub al-Sitta. From them at Tirmidhi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Everybody's with me. Alhamdulillah. So in the book of Zakat, in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, there's a chapter, and he says, "Babu ma ja'a fi fadli as-sadaqah," the chapter about what has come with regards to the virtue of charity, the virtue of charity. He mentions some narrations, and he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned his narration with his chain to Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. There's two narrations here. In the beginning of this chapter, we read one of them. They're the same wording, but they're slightly different. He says, "مَا تَصَدَّقَ أَحَدٌ بِصَدَقَةٍ مِنْ طَيِّبٍ وَلَا يَكْبَرُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبَ إِلَّا أَخَذَهَا الرَّحْمَنُ بِيَمِينِهِ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ تَمْرَةً تَرْبُو فِي كَفِّ الرَّحْمَنِ حَتَّى تَكُونَ أَعْظَمَ مِنَ الْجَبَلِ كَمَا يُرَبِّي أَحَدُكُمْ." It's the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "مَا تَصَدَّقَ أَحَدٌ بِصَدَقَ مِنْ طَيِّبٍ," that no one has ever will ever give charity from that which is good and wholesome and lawful. "وَلَا يَقْبَرُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبٍ," and Allah, He does not accept anything, any from the charity except that which is lawful and good, except that which is lawful and good. No one gives charity in this manner, إِلَّا أَخَذَهَا الرَّحْمَنُ بِيَمِينِهِ, except for the Most Gracious, He will accept that in His right hand. وَنْ كَانَتْ تَمْرَى, even if it was a date. Even if it was a date. تَرُبُوا فِي كَفِ الرَّحْمَنِ حَتَّى تَكُونَ أَعْظَمَ مِنَ الْجَبَلِ, it will grow in the palm of Ar-Rahman, of the Most Gracious, until it's greater than a mountain. And the other wording, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until it's greater than the size of Uhud. كَمَا يُرَبِّي أَحَدُكُمْ كَمَا يُرَبِّي أَحَدُكُمْ فُلُوَهُ أَوْ فَصِيلًا, just as one of you will nurture and raise his horse, his small horse, and his pony. And he meaning giving great care and concern. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He accepts the charity. And He nurtures it and grows it until it's of great benefit. Until it's of great benefit. So the point is now to read what Abu Isa, he said about these narrations. And he first, he said, Hadithu Abi Hurairah Hadithun Hasanun Sahih. This is a clearly authentic narration. A clearly authentic narration. And then he says, Rahimahullah, وَقَدْ قَالَ غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنْ أَحْلِ الْعِلْمِ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ, and more than one person from the people of knowledge have said about this narration. So whenever the likes of Imam al-Tirmidhi, he says, from the people of knowledge, who's referring to? And he died in 279. So he's referring to his teachers like al-Bukhari and those before him like al-Imam Ahmad and those and Imam Malik and al-Shafi and Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, and those even before them. Even before them. So more than one person has mentioned about this hadith. وَمَا يُشْبِهُ هَذَا مِنَ الرِّوَايَاتِ فِي الصِّفَاتِ, and that which is similar to this hadith from the narrations about the attributes. وَنُزُولِ الرَّبِّ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا, and the descent of the Lord, the Most High, to the heaven, to the worldly heavens every night. قَدْ ثَبَتَتْ الرِّوَايَاتُ فِي هَذَا وَيُؤْمَنُ بِهَا وَلَا يُتَوَهَّمُ وَلَا يُقَالُ كَيْفِ. Ibn al-Tirmidhi, he says that they say these narrations have been affirmed and we believe in them and we do not have any delusion with regards to them and we do not say how. And we do not say how. So al-Tirmidhi, he's telling us what his teachers, what he learned. And this is the methodology also. This is the way. Huh? He's following who? The Salaf al-Salih. Why is he saying this? This is what has reached me. I'm telling you what the Imams told me. And what the Imams told me with regards to these narrations about the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, they say that these narrations have been affirmed, meaning they're authentic on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no doubt that he mentioned them and said them. These are from the narrations of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they say they're believed in. You believe in them and do not have delusion or try to comprehend and ask how. How does Allah grow it? How does it grow in His hand? How does He grab it? You don't say the likes of these words. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. You don't think about the likes of these words. الْكَلَامُ فِي الصِّفَاتِ فَرْعٌ عَنْ الْكَلَامُ فِي الذَّاتِ عَنْ الْكَلَامُ فِي الذَّاتِ. So then he says, هَكَذَا رُوِيَ, like you say that we believe in these, we believe in these narrations, and you don't say how. You don't say how. They're affirmed, we believe in them. We don't say how. He says, هَكَذَا Ruwiya and Malik ibn Anas. Like this, the same understanding has been narrated from Malik ibn Anas. And we have taken that, some of that which is narrated from him in detail. In detail, right? About the istiwa. Qala al-kayfu majhul. Al-istiwa'u ma'lum. Wal-kayfu majhul. Wal-imanu bihi wajib. Wal-su'alu anhu bid'ah. How the istiwa is known, meaning the meaning. And how it is unknown. And to believe in it is an obligation. And to ask about it is an innovation. So this we have discussed. He's telling us that like this, it's been narrated from Malik ibn Anas, al-Imam Malik. He died in 179. Wa Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He died in 198. Wa Abdullah ibn Mubarak. He died in 181. Annahum qalu fi hadhihi al-hadith, that all of them they said about these narrations. Amirruha bila kayf, that you narrate them as they come without saying how. Without saying how. Allah, He takes it in His right hand. Then we say Allah, He takes it in His right hand. We don't say how. But what do we know? It's not like anything in the creation. So he says, وَهَكَذَا قَوْلُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ, and this is the position of the people of knowledge from the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. وَأَمَّا الْجَهْمِيَّةِ فَأَنْكَرَتْ هَذِهِ الرِّوَايَاتِ وَقَالُوا هَذَا التَّشْبِيهِ, and as for the Jahmiyyah, then they denied these narrations. And they say, oh, this is resembling Allah to the creation. وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى فِي غَيْرِ مَوْضِعٍ مِنْ كِتَابِهِ الْيَدَ وَالسَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ فتأولت الجهمية هذه الآيات وفسروها على غير ما فسر أهل العلم. And Allah the Most High, He has mentioned in more than one place in His book the hand and the hearing and the seeing and the Jahmiyyah. They have misinterpreted these verses and they have interpreted them to be contrary to what the people of knowledge interpreted. And they said, وَقَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَخْلُقْ آدَمْ بِيَدِهِ. And they said that Allah did not create Adam with His hand. وَقَالُوا إِنَّ مَعْنَا الْيَدْ هَا هُنَا الْقُوَّةِ. And they say the meaning of hand here is strength. وَقَالَ إِسْحَاقِ ibn Ibrahim. And إِسْحَاقِ ibn Ibrahim, he said, who's that? Ibn Rahoyah. He died in 238. Ibn Rahoyah, from the greatest scholars of hadith, along with Imam Ahmad, rahimahum Allah ta'ala. He says, إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ تَشْبِيهُ إِذَا قَالَ يَدٌ كَيَدٌ أو مثل يد أو سمع كسمع أو مثل سمع فإذا قال سمع كسمع أو مثل سمع فهذا التشبيه. Ishaq ibn Rahoyah, he says that it's only considered resembling Allah to the creation if you say a hand like a hand, or similar to a hand, or hearing like hearing, or similar to hearing. So if one said hearing like hearing, or similar to hearing, then this is tashbih. Then this is making resemblance. وَأَمَّا إِذَا قَالَ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهِ يَدٌ وَسَمْعٌ وَبَصَرٌ وَلَا يَقُولُ كَيْفٌ وَلَا يَقُولُ مِثْلُ سَمْعٍ وَلَا كَسَمْعٍ فَهَذَا لَا يَكُونُ تَشْبِيهًا. And as for if you say like Allah says that He has hands and hearing and seeing, but you do not say how, and you do not say like hearing, and you do not say or similar to hearing, then this is not resembling the attribute. This is not making a resemblance. وَهُوَ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ. And it is like Allah has said in His book, the Most High, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's nothing like unto Him, and He is the all-hearing and the all-seeing. So this methodology is the methodology of the Salaf. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, who died in 279, who narrated the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us, is telling us what his teachers who narrated the narrations to him said about these narrations. That they're affirmed, they're established, and we believe in them. We do not say how. Rather, we believe in them just as Allah has said in His book, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.